This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum. I pray this finds you well and blessed. Welcome to one of my favorite areas of Istanbul. It's called Fatih, and today it's a hub of market stalls run by largely Syrian Arab speakers, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum. How are you? Okay?
Some people like to tell us that Islamic heritage is dead and buried, that the great times are past, that there's nothing to remember, and we feel bad as Muslims. But I'm here to tell you, subhanAllah, and to remind me that in the salams we give each other, and in Istanbul, in the very walls, are the heritage and legacy of the great.
So there's lots of Syrian children around here. They've been welcomed in the earlier years by the Turks, and we pray that that heart and soul is found to maintain that relationship and to treat them as Muslims fleeing oppression. Hey, salamu alaikum, what's your name? Yeah.
Cute. Look at this, what's your name? Alhamdulillah. Oh yeah, okay.
Look, these kids, unfortunately, have had to learn to give hugs for money. The situation for the Muslims here is really, really difficult, okay? Allah bless you. I'll get you some sweets later on, okay? Originally, this area was built up by Fatih Mehmet the Conqueror, who wanted to set up a foundation for a new empire by helping the people. We're about to visit the magnificent mosque that bears his name. This is the Fatih complex, and it was built in the first decade after the conquest of Constantinople. And it shares essences of the Medina complex, okay? Because when you build a mosque, you don't just build a place to pray and then you go home. If you look around here, you can see there are gardens for people to rest in, fountains for people to get water in. It's a very rare thing here, and that is that the names of the 10 who were promised Jannah by the Prophet, peace be upon him, appear in this mosque. So if you look up there, there's the names of the 10 Sahaba, friends of the Prophet, who were promised Jannah. I can see Talha up there, rahimahullah. That is not a normal thing, it's not a traditional thing, but it's here, and it was chosen by Sultan Fatih. Look at these beautiful inlets here, these eaves. So these are for travelers, and the Sultan, peace be upon him, Mehmed II, he commissioned these himself specifically. Now, what are they for? Apart from being, these are rebuilt ones, obviously in the Baroque style, but they close and they can be locked. And what would happen is travelers would come here and they would put their belongings there, right? They'd probably be stacked to the sky. They'd be locked by the Imam or somebody who looked after the mosque. And then the travelers would go and find somewhere to stay, knowing that their things were safe in the mosque. Allahu Akbar, makes you think of Medina, doesn't it? Nothing was missed in this design. So when I was looking for information on Mehmet II, and it's all in English, right, on the internet, all I found were words like vengeful, materialistic, conqueror. It was as if
He only lived to take European cities, to cause problems to the Europeans. And don't get me wrong, he was a conqueror, subhanAllah, he deserved that name. He and his soldiers pushed into more than 20 campaigns, getting into Macedonia for the first time, into Serbia, and even into parts of Italy. But did he really do that just for fame and money and wealth? Well, from a Muslim perspective, we know that our decisions are first and foremost made so that Allah is pleased with us. This is the same young man who at 19 conquered Constantinople, subhanAllah, on the words Allahu Akbar, and then days later went to his Sufi teacher and said, "Can I please become a dervish in your order?" To live a Sufi life is to live austerity and leave it all behind. Lucky for us, his teacher said no. You know what, it's incredible to imagine, but at around 14 years old, the young Mehmet, the Prince Mehmet as he was then, he was still a young man, a child on a mission, right? He was 14 years old, and one night he was in his bedroom and his light, his candle was on until late, almost to the dawn. And he was being trained by Akshemseddin Gurani. He was the highlight of the ulama at the time in the region. He went in and he asked the young prince, "What are you studying late into the night?" And Mehmet didn't want to tell him, subhanAllah. He said, "This is a secret." His hodja looked through what he was studying and all he saw were plans for how to take Constantinople. What a young man with a mission. And so the hodja gave him this advice. He said that if you really want to be the one blessed by Allah, to enter Islam into the heart of Europe, if you really want to be the man who fulfills the prophecy of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, I do not want you to be an ignorant sultan, but a wise ruler with a heart and foresight. How our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Constantinople will certainly be conquered." What a great commander, the commander who conquered him, and what a great army, the army who conquered him. So this is the library with thousands of books collected originally by Mehmet II, subhanAllah, as part of an Islamic Waqf, which is a major charity, like a permanent endowment. Part of this arrangement, this city that he rebuilt with its heart right here in Fatiha, fed the poor, so there were public kitchens, gave water to the city, animals, and the people, of course. There was a hospice where the poor and the dying could go. There was an inn where people could stay briefly. There were madrasas. The schools here for the students of knowledge taught all of the relevant sciences of the time, astronomy, medicine, literature. He was known to invite some of the greatest writers from the Greeks and the Italian civilization or the old population at the time to come and share their knowledge. It really became a community hub. By the grace of Allah, that meant that there was so much khair going around this area that Constantinople, as it became Istanbul, within 50 years, became arguably, the most influential city in the world by the 1600s. Allahu Akbar. I'm gonna go in and pray Al-Fatiha now. There's a misconception that Sufis come and pray to people. The vast majority just pray Al-Fatiha for them, you know? Please Allah forgive them, raise them in ranks, bless them. Yeah. Bosnia, Albania,
Kosovo, Macedonia, once upon a time Serbia. All Islam through that opening subhanAllah, because of Allah, Allah chose him. So I guess I'm a bit overwhelmed at the tomb of Fatih Mehmet Rahimullah. The takeaways are, I'm asking Allah for better leaders, for the kind of leaders who care about the poor in their countries, you know, the kind of leaders who want educated people, not ignorant people who they can control. The sort of leaders who will, you know, fight fi sabilillah out of the love for Allah Ta'ala and the want to bring justice and goodness to other people in the world, not for material gain. You know, it's that distance from, you know, Allah Ta'ala gifted him everything. And what did he want to do? He wanted to write great poetry, remembering Allah and using literature in order to, you know, manifest beauty, if you like, in his realm and look after the poor above all else. SubhanAllah. I love this area, you know, there's kids playing actually in the fountains there. I think they're supposed to swim, but they are for me. And there's kids on bikes, and people love to come to this area, look at it, it's so well maintained. Well, that's been Fatih Complex Istanbul. If you like these videos, give us a like, don't forget to subscribe, and let's continue this journey together through Istanbul in our eyes. Salam.